when we began to get our new altar service during Lent, they would show up every Saturday, and we would practice. And it was a major commitment on our part and their part. Most of these young people had not seen anybody serve here at St. Joseph's, so we had to provide the image also for them to see, and it was much more than normal. And 1 week, they came, and they were kind of restless. And one of the mothers, she said, "They're hungry." And I said, "Well, I promised them that we would have pizza later on." And she said, "No, no." She said, "They're hungry. Give them something to eat now." And she said, "Otherwise, you're not going to be able to work with them." And it was good advice. We started with the pizza, and from there, we went into the practice. Not something I would have seen, but her words was, "Give them something to eat now." And she knew what she was talking about. When Jesus was in this deserted place, a similar situation, but we're talking about thousands and thousands of people. And, you know, his disciples recognized that, you know, they had a problem on their hands. And Jesus turns to them and says, "You give them something to eat." Scholars, they look at this and they not only recognize that Jesus saw the need of the people, their weakness. You know, they came to be healed and to be cured. They came a distance to be with him. And there was a real need that they be fed. But the evangelists, like St. Luke, they took that miracle and they put it into a different context. That Jesus took bread, looking up to heaven, blessed it, and broke it, and then gave it to the people. They say that they took this miracle and put it in the context of the Eucharist that we celebrate. Very similar miracles. Because Jesus, realizing our weakness, took bread, took wine, blessed it, blessed the bread, broke it, and began to feed his disciples with this, and gave them a command for all times to do this in memory of him. He took simple food, food that was used centuries before him by the priest Melchizedek. The only time we find it in sacred scripture that a priest comes out with bread and wine. This happens at that visit of Abram. And this was a sacrifice of old. This is before Jesus, or before God institutes the Levitical priesthood. There was another reason for that. But this was the priesthood that God had established through Adam and it was supposed to be passed down to the firstborn son, the first righteous firstborn son. And Jesus takes up that sacrifice once again with food that was so familiar with people. Bread, wine, a staple. Maybe we don't understand that. In 1996, I had just gone to some exploratory surgery and I had stones in my pancreatic bile duct and my whole system was clogged. They had given me 3 weeks to live and I was in pretty bad shape. But having come through that, we had planned to go to World Youth Day. This doctor I was seeing, he had me on such a strict diet. And one of the things I had to be careful of was baked goods and stuff like that. He didn't want me to eat any processed foods. And so I had to be careful of a lot of the breads. And I said, we're going to be in Europe for 3 weeks. What am I going to do? He said, don't worry about it. He said, they eat much differently than we do. He said, when you get to places, he said, especially like Germany, you're going to realize that this bread is real food. You know, it's not what we get here, Wonder Bread or anything like that. He said, this is nourishing. This is the stuff that was used throughout the centuries. And he was right. This is stuff that you could live on. This is what they brought out. This is probably what Jesus distributed. Something substantial these people could live on. To feed them in their hunger. Probably what Melchizedek brought out. That and the wine. Two big staples of that land, of that time. I'm sure he recognized the need. But think of what Jesus did, taking those staples, recognizing the need of the human race to be healed, to be fed, to be nourished. And he did it in a way that only he could do. Not just bread, not just wine. No, these become his flesh and his blood. It doesn't mean that the nourishment that was once there when it was that bread disappears. No. No, those things remain, but the substance of it changes. And he said, do this in memory of me. Last week we had 11 men ordained. As ordination, you hear the words, understand what you do. Imitate what you handle. And if we look at it in the context of our readings today, it's Christ telling the priests, give them something to eat. Do this in memory of me. Do this as I once did it. And so he has them continue to feed the human race in that same way. Yes, the bread and the wine is brought out, but now each time it's changed into the body and blood of Jesus. Feed the people. Give them that super substantial food to eat. But I think it's a call to each and every one of us, too. The words that were said to the newly ordained are, in a sense, said to us, too. Understand what you do when you receive, and imitate what you handle. Meaning, we have to now take up that same step. We leave here not done, but the command is given to us then to give them something to eat. The people we love, the people in our families, the people we meet throughout the week, the people we know, the people we don't know, the crowds, just like in the time of Jesus, they need to be healed. They need to be nourished. They need to be fed. And sometimes to be fed spiritually, sometimes to be fed emotionally, other times to just be fed physically. Our religion is one not just of worship, but of service. Jesus has told us many times in the gospel that he came to serve and not to be served. And so we see that in his feeding of these thousands of people. We see this in the feeding of his body and blood. And so we're called, as we celebrate the feast of the body and blood of Christ, to remember this, to understand what we do, and then to imitate what we handle. Time and time again, we're going to be meeting people throughout our week. And we remember the command of Jesus, give them something to eat.